All right, Ed, you want to start us off with prayer, brother?
All right. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we just ask that your word would move through Brian, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would be here today. Lord, that you would anoint him and that every word he speaks would be straight from you, Lord God. And we just ask that you would bless him in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ed. Well, I've been teaching for quite some time now in this church, and I've never had a subject like this one that I would consider myself to be an expert in the field. You know, when you go to court, you bring in expert witnesses and, you know, these guys coming in. Well, in fact, I have so much experience in this subject that by the world standards, I should probably be given an honorary doctorate's degree. Bob, would you concur with that? This subject is not a very popular teaching today in many, maybe mega churches. You won't hear it being shouted from the rooftops by televangelists. They don't teach it in school. Certain politicians have tried to abolish the word, or at the very least, change its meaning. Dwayne Keene, can you guess what I'm teaching on today, since you looked at my notes? Yeah. Can anybody guess what I'm teaching? We're going to talk about sin today and giving it to the flesh. Very popular. You know, it's so popular, that's probably why we have a smaller crowd today. The word must have got out that, you know, we're going to, Downriver's teaching on sin this week. Let's give ourselves a hand, amen? I personally want to thank Bob for allowing me to teach on this subject, because it never fails. Whatever I'm going to teach on is something I go through. For example, I was teaching last time at the men's meeting. Me and Ed taught, and Bob gave me first pick, so I got to teach on blessings. Ed taught on perseverance. So it was, without fail, it seemed like I was going through a season of blessings, and I was just, oh, this is great. I want to teach on blessings every Sunday. I just love this. So then I get the next schedule from Bob, and I said, sin? What? I said, oh, no. I'm in trouble now. Well, the word does say to confess our sins to one another. But actually, you know, one of the things is honestly anger. And, you know, maybe a lot of you who see me on Sunday and whatnot might think, oh, he's always in a good mood. He's always joyful. He's always this. Nope. Always smile. No. Pastor Don will tell you, if my wife was here, she's in New York, she'd tell you, no, Brian he's dealing with anger right now. You know, impatience, anger, and man, you guys ever get to that point where your sin, it bothers you so much, and you're like, sometimes I'm like, I don't even want to be around me. You know, it's like, oh, gosh, you know? You know, when I talked about blessing, how I taught on blessing, you know, God, can we agree God does want us to be blessed, right? We all agree on that. But if we never deal with the sin in our lives, we're never really truly going to be blessed. You know, when God convicts you of something, you know, he's pointing something out in your life. And like I said, before this whole room, I tell you with my anger, God's just trying to bring that to the surface. Like, hey, Brian, you need some work in this area. It's time for you to repent. Get some prayer. You know, you might even have to fast to get ready. I know, God forbid, we're eating right now. We don't want to hear that word. We want to hear fasting in the church, do we?
You are talking about fast.
Definition of sin. I looked it up. It says, an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. Amen. And I also pull up the scripture here. Jacob, help me out. We got Galatians. We're going to start off in Galatians 5:19. And it says this. It says, the acts of the flesh, or sinful nature, in the NLT says, they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, Let me skip that other one. It says fits of rage. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? That's a good-sized list. But that doesn't even scratch the surface of what sin is. You know, the sinful nature and the flesh, like NIV called it the flesh here in 19, the acts of the flesh, but the NLT says the acts of the sinful nature. That's one and the same. Acts of the flesh, acts of the sinful nature. You know, just like if I said peanut butter and, right? Peanut butter and jelly. Yeah, they go hand in hand, like peanut butter and, Ed said, jelly, ketchup and mustard. How about this, ebony and? There you go. That's an old song for you young guys. Yes, you can. Yes, please.
So many Christians think that, you know, because we read that word flesh, that the flesh somehow is evil. Okay? And so that's why you see a lot of these groups that develop and they become aesthetic in their teaching. You can't eat this or drink that or watch this, whatever it is. That's why in the NIV it says the flesh, but it was changed. What was the other? The sinful nature, yeah, which is really, you know, a more correct identification. It's not that the flesh, God gave you a flesh. You right. have a body. The body is the temple of God. And so it's not that the flesh itself is evil somehow. It's kind of a neutral thing. But it's the desires that begin to control and which emanate from, you know, the soul of man. So many Christians say this before, that they want to, you hear, crucify the flesh. You see these guys in the Philippines during the Holy Week and they're beating themselves, they allow themselves. And Paul writes and he says, that has nothing to do with stopping the sinful nature. Amen. So it's not the flesh, your body, that is evil. Okay, you're to rejoice, thank God for that, take care of it, and you know what have you. That's part of you. It's those desires that begin to control. But it's just something that in many, many churches that there's not that distinction, and it's very important. Even in the early church, that was the thing. You had groups that were gravitate towards the flesh was so evil that they, you know, went on to the desert, they fasting all the time and not eating certain foods, and they thought that made them holy. That has nothing to do with holiness. Holiness is being in Christ in his righteousness. So definitely make that distinction. When, you know, the Bible says something, you know, those that would disallow certain foods or certain drinks, you got to be very, very careful. And not to say that, you know, hey, you just give in to your flesh all the time, but there should be a nice balance there.
Amen. And you know, Jesus said when he's talking about, it's not what goes into a man makes him unclean, it's what comes out of him. You know, the murderous thoughts, this, that, what comes out of the heart. You know, and they also said that, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's what we're talking about, heart issues. It's, sin develops in there. So in order to overcome sin, Dwayne, we must first do one thing. What's that? No? Well, that's part of it. First thing you need to do is admit, you know what? I am a sinner. I'm having issues here. I'm having problems. Like I said, I admitted, I got it out in public. Yeah, I'm having some anger problems, but you know what? Guess what? We brought it to light. I'm dealing with it. Amen? Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to admit it. Just like when these guys go to AA, that's the first step they say. You know, I have to admit. Because you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, yeah, I do have this issue, Brian. I do have it. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And I meet so many people today that they don't want to admit that they're a sinner. You know, the first words out of their mouth, oh, I'm a good person. And I know I've taught on that before. I've gone through the Ten Commandments with people. Let me see how good you are, you know, and I go through that list. And before you know it, it's like, are you good in your own eyes? Or are you good, you know, according to God's eyes? You know, the Bible says there's no one good. No one does good. No one is righteous, Jesus said. Okay, we're going to go to a little story here. I love this story. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 8. When he, Jesus, had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let the nets go down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. This is my point here. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And that story has always touched me because Peter, you know, he already called him Lord. He called him Master up here. And, you know, he recognized that. You know, if you want to be used by God, you've got to recognize, hey, man, we need help. Right, Ricardo? We need help every day. Amen? And I love Jesus' response. We don't have it up here right now, but Jesus said this after that. He said to Simon, "Don't be afraid." Right after he said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishers of men." So that was a great, great response. So I love the confession from Peter. So speaking of fish, it says, when we give into the flesh and take the bait to sin, the enemy is right there whispering in our ear. And the enemy knows exactly what it takes to get you to fall. You know, he knows, Donna, how to push Eddie's buttons to push you, right? Even though you love him to death, there's just, right? And he knows, you know, my wife just went away to New York for the weekend. I was so excited. But the night before she was leaving, I missed it. What happened?
You were so excited that your wife left. You know this is being taped. She will listen to this when she comes back.
Lord, forgive me. I'm Christy, forgive me. Okay, wait, back up. Let the record be stricken, please. Okay. What happened was she hadn't seen her brother in 4 years. He lives in New York City. And so she was excited to go see him. Plus, her sister from Arizona was flying there. So it was supposed to be a little surprise. Well, somebody let the cat out of the bag. Well, anyway, so I was real excited. She was going to get to go. We got a great deal on the ticket. This is all great. And the night before, she's packing. And all of a sudden, here comes that anger issue, that impatience. And I'm just like chirping at her, you know, like nitpicking. It's like, man, so we almost had like a brawl the night before she's leaving New York. And I knew the enemy was just feeding me, you know, here, have a little more, a little more, a little more. It's like, man, I was so frustrated. And I repented to my wife. And we not only have to repent to God sometimes, we have to repent to others. Especially in a marriage, I repent quite a bit. Just ask her. But, you know, when we give in to the bait that the enemy has for us, because, you know, the traps, the schemes. Well, then right after that, you know, there he is, comes in, it's all, Ed, you blew it. God's mad at you now. You better run. You better hide. PD, you better get out of Dodge. That's just the exact opposite of what we need to do. But, it, you know, it reminds me of the story, you know, with Adam and Eve, and what did they do? As soon as they, you know, God told me you can have all this, you can do all these things, just don't touch that one tree or eat of it. You know, don't eat of that tree. And what did they do? They did it, and the first thing they wanted to do is run and hide. And that's in our nature too. I remember, you know, when I first came to this church, and then I had left for a while because I went through a divorce, and you know, I was kind of like hiding from God. I thought I was, but not really. Amen? Donna, it's funny I see you right there because, let's see, it was a few years later. I wasn't serving God, and Melvindale made the playoffs. And I told my wife, I said, they made the playoffs in a long time because back then you had to be like only one loss or zero losses to get in. So I says, we're going out to Jackson. We're going to watch Melvindale play. She goes, honey, it's like 0 degrees out. It was brutally cold. So I'm up in the stands, and then who do I see? I see Eddie Medrano. So I'm like this, put my hand on. I didn't want him to see me, you know? And Eddie was one of the guys I really liked from the church, but I'm like, I don't want him to see me. So I didn't even come up to Eddie. I regret that now, but, you know, God always, when you're trying to run from God, when you're trying to hide from him, he always throws those reminders out. If anybody else can bear witness with that? I told this story before, but it's just such a powerful story that I was at the gym, and I told this before, and I'm just warming up, just a real lightweight, and the radio station had changed at the gym from heavy metal. All of a sudden, it just changed to a Christian station, and they were playing Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. I'm like, what? And, I mean, I'm crying, and like, my buddy's like, what's wrong? And I go, man, I'm in sin, you know? I knew it. He didn't have to tell me. I always like what Bob said, too. You know, he said that you didn't have to tell him he was a sinner. He knew it. Remember him sharing that story. So we're going to go to 1 John 1:8 again, and through 9, though, this time. 1:8 through 9. Because I only read the first part of this scripture. I want to read the whole thing. 1:8 through 9, the second verse after it. So I read, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So he's faithful. We just need to confess it. Amen? And don't wallow in it. I mean, there's times I've wallowed in it, like, Lord, I can't believe I did that again. I'm just, God, why? And then you've already asked for forgiveness. Why are we beating ourselves up? Amen? You know, it says here, he's faithful and just. He'll forgive our sins as far as, in other scriptures says, as far as the east is from the west. You know, he chooses to remember our sin no more. And that's simple. Boom, done. And once you confess that sin, move on. I mean, that's what I love about the scriptures about David, about guys that, you know, they had some major sin issues going on. But, you know, once they got right with God, God was able to use them, and they're just mighty men. Amen? Has anybody ever run into old friends from the past before you were a Christian? Oh. Well, this happened to me. I ran into when I was at the gym, and that blessed be the name of the Lord, he was one of the guys there, and I hung out the wrong crowd, and to say the least. So I run into him at my new gym, just like maybe a month ago. And I kid you not, within the first 5 minutes of talking to him, he starts, remember when you used to do X, Y, and Z? And he just blurting my sin out there. And I said to him, I looked at him, I said, Matt, you know, I've been forgiven for that. You know, I'm not the same man I used to be. And he goes, well, why would you need forgiveness? Yeah, that's the world. Why would the world? The world says, why do you need forgiveness? You can do whatever you want, right? Exactly. So I'd see him here and there, and next thing you know, so I'd say, all right, you know, God put him in my life for a reason. I'm going to minister to him and show him, you know what, I'm not that old man anymore. I'm serving the Lord, you know. And, well, what's that?
You're old.
Ouch. That hurts. I forgive you, brother. So I actually invited him to come to the men's meeting, this and that. Well, come to find out, he had an ex-girlfriend who became religious, in his words, and it put a real bad taste in his mouth because she said she couldn't talk to him anymore, which I understand what she's talking about and her point of view. So now I got a lot of work ahead of me for this guy. So, but hey, he's in my life for a reason, right, Ed? Yes. But this is one of my favorite scriptures here, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Hey, they blasted Donald Trump, and I just did the same thing. Okay, 2 Corinthians, right? He said 2 Corinthians, and the media went all over. I do it all the time. Sorry. Yeah, I'm a sinner. I told you guys. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And that's one of my favorite scriptures. I have it in my office on a poster. And just I love that because you know what? The old is gone. The old man's gone. We're all new creatures, right? But just because the old man or the old woman is gone does not mean he won't try to rear his ugly head. Man, sometimes, you know, he comes back and it's just like that. Yeah, that sinful nature is something we have to beat up, you know, on a constant basis, daily basis. So now the second part of the teaching here was talking about temptation. Dwayne, is it a sin to be tempted? Okay, does everyone agree? Oh, that's good. That's good. Hebrews 4:14-15. Yes, sir.
Is it a sin to put yourself in the way of temptation?
Yeah, if you purposely, I'll give you an example. If I'm an alcoholic, I don't belong up at the bar stool. I'm tempting God. Yeah, there's situations, you know. Ed, you want to read this for me? My voice gets.
Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin.
I love that scripture. He was tempted in every way. You know, the enemy threw it all at him. I'll give you this, you can have this, just like he does us. And Jesus, nope, he didn't do it. He didn't give in. Not one time. Thank God he didn't give in, right? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. A lot of times we want to say, oh, you don't know my situation. You know, this, you don't know this, I can't, this temptation, I don't know, I can't handle it. You don't know what I've gone through. Well, it says right here, no temptation is overtaking you except what is common to mankind. We all have, you know, things we go through, different temptations, it's common. But it says this, and God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Amen? You think there's no way out of this situation? There is, because it says in the next sentence, but when you are tempted, he'll also provide a way out so that you can endure it. He'll always have like I brought up about that point where I was getting angry, my wife were fighting this and that. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me like, Brian, don't, what are you doing? Your wife's going away. Hey, wake up here. You just, you know. And then he put a thought in my head. I said, yeah, Lord, I'm sorry. So that I went up and I repented to my wife and the rest of the evening was awesome, you know. Amen? You don't have to give in to the flesh. There's always a way out. But we got to want to get out. You know, let's face it. Sometimes that sin is fun. You know, the Bible does say that sin is pleasurable for a season. But you know, just like I'm sure the alcoholic who had those first few drinks, first few months, oh, this is fun, this is great. And now 20 years later, when he's living in a gutter and doesn't have two pennies to rub together, and his family has disowned him, and he's got cirrhosis of the liver, and he looks like he's 80 and he's only 40, he had to pay a price for that. Amen? There's always a cost to the sin. And, Jesus said the wages of sin is death. Paul said that, excuse me. But the gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Amen? And we've been set free from the cost of our sin because Jesus paid it all on the cross. There was a song that just kind of really touched me, and I like this song a lot. And I feel like it'd be a good worship song here to close with. So, Ed. Hold on.
Now I'm not who I used to be. God.